The 13th chapter, Glory to You, O Lord. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs, becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. He also said, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net which was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? And they answered, yes. He said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that in the Lord's Prayer pretty much every week, don't we? But what exactly are we praying for? You ever thought about that? What's in your mind when you pray that part of the Lord's Prayer? Do you picture streets paved in gold up in the clouds? Do you picture Jesus on a throne and people in white spending their days in praise of him? Do you picture anything at all? What are we asking for to come to the earth that we believe now exists in heaven? Now, when you ask that question, I think you begin to understand what most folks mean when they say they prefer to talk about the reign of heaven rather than the kingdom of heaven. See, with the word kingdom, we tend to think of something physical, a physical place, like the magical kingdom of Disney World. But what we are really praying for is not that the physical kingdom of heaven would come crashing down on earth and squash everything, but that the reign of God would come down. The way of living and ruling that is characterized by God's realm. And so, what does that reign look like? Has it come down already? And if so, why do we keep praying for it to come? Well, the belief of Christians, and certainly of the author of Matthew, is that the reign of heaven was indeed planted, sown, started by Jesus. That the reign of heaven is a present reality that has not yet been fully realized. The language that's often used for it is already, but not yet. Kind of like you're pregnant, but the child isn't here yet. So this is part of what is being described in at least 2 of the 5 the reign of heaven is like examples from our reading today. It is like a mustard seed that is sown in a huge field, but when it grows exponentially large, and it covers the entirety of that field. It provides for all of creation around it. It is something that is small, unseen, ignored, seemingly insignificant. Mustard is a weed, actually, but is something that grows to take over the whole field. It provides shelter and food for the rest of creation. The rain of heaven is like a woman who hid yeast in a whole bunch of flour. And yes, you heard correctly. The word that is translated as mixed in our text is the exact same word that is translated as hidden later in that text. It's the word that we get encryption from, crypto, and it does mean it's hidden. Also, as a side note, the amount of flour listed would be 50 to 60 pounds of flour, 9 gallons. So think of a 5-gallon bucket and then almost another 5-gallon bucket of flour into which she hides the yeast. So here again, the rain of heaven is like something that is virtually invisible when hidden throughout the immensity of the world, but that changes everything. Because what happens when you try and do something with the flour that has yeast in it? The results will be different, won't it? That little bit of yeast spread throughout all of that flour changes the very nature of the flour, even though you don't see the effect of it yet. The rain of heaven is an already present thing that has not been fully realized. Is this what these two illustrations are telling us? That God is already active in small and unrecognized ways to change the world? Where do you see that happening? Are you even looking for it? The rain of heaven is like a great treasure that you just stumble across as this tenant farmer does this hidden treasure in the field. But what do you do when you encounter it? Well, according to this, it's something that's worth selling everything to get. The rain of heaven just pops into our view. Do we have eyes to see it? Do we have the will to invest all that we have and are to get it? The rain of heaven is something that when we find it, we invest everything in reaction to it. It's something small that can change everything. And as my colleagues and I were talking about this, an example of that came to mind, because we know all about some small unseen thing that changes the lives of everyone in the whole world, don't we? The coronavirus is microscopically small, but when sown throughout the world, it changes everything about how we live, how we work, how we breathe. Even when we try and ignore it, the reality of COVID-19 seeps into everything we do. Now, COVID-19 is life-taking. The rain of heaven is life-giving. But honestly, this is the kind of transformation that Jesus is pointing us to as people of faith. That our faith should shape absolutely everything about how we live, work, and breathe. Even when we aren't strictly paying attention to it, it should nonetheless seep into everything that we do. But why? Why should we give it this kind of influence in our lives? Well, I think the next example of the rain of heaven shows us why. The rain of heaven is like a merchant who is searching for fine pearls, who sells all that he has when he finds one so that he can buy what he has been searching for. Now, all the other examples are about objects, aren't they? We'll get to a net in just a minute. We've had seed, yeast, a hidden treasure. This one is like a merchant searching for valuable pearls. What if God is the merchant? And what if we are the pearls? What if what is given to obtain the pearls is Jesus? The reign of heaven is God's willingness both to see us all as pearls of great value, to dedicate God's life to searching for us, but also to pay anything, including God's own Son, Jesus, so that we might be God's. How can we not respond to that kind of love with the same kind of life-shaping response that we give to a deadly virus? The work we do to avoid death ought not be more than the work that we do in response to life given to us. How can we not love the God who has paid that price for us, who gives us life fuller and more abundant? How can we not love that God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength? And then we come back to the question of, well, okay, what does this reign of heaven look like? Well, it's like a net that takes in everyone and everything that it comes in contact with. Well, it'll all get sorted out later, but for right now, here on earth, before Jesus comes again, all are part of it. Weed and wheat, saint and sinner, together in this imperfect unity that is the church. What does the reign of heaven look like? Well, Jesus pointed to some of this in the Sermon on the Mount. The reign of heaven is a place where we do not murder, even in our thoughts and in our anger. It is a place where we do not turn people into objects for our own pleasure or use. It is a place where we share freely out of our bounty with those who are in need. It is a place where we love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. It is a place where we are more attentive to our own failings than where we point out the failings of others. Oh God, may your reign come, and that right soon. As Jesus in Matthew 25 reminds us, the reign of heaven is a place where the thirsty are given drink, where the hungry are given food, where the homeless are given shelter, where the naked are given clothes just because they are so and not because we think they have earned it or deserve it. Why? Because God has given those things to us, and we sure don't deserve it. And we certainly haven't earned it. They're gifts, given to us by loving God to share with others. The reign of heaven is a place where the imprisoned are not isolated, but kept part of the community, even as they suffer the consequences for their actions. It is a place where Jesus is assumed to be present in those who are in need and also those who help us when we are in need. This is the rain that we pray each week would come down, knowing it'll come whether we pray for it to or not, but praying that it might come for us as well, that we might truly live our lives differently because of this little seed of faith that has been sown into our lives, that we would have eyes to see these small glimpses of the reign of heaven that we encounter as we live. And part of that comes from knowing what to look for, of being mindful, searching for it. Reminds me when I was growing up, my best friend lived across the street, Ry Mittelstadt. And he and his family had come from Colorado, and after several years, trying to figure out whether they were being called to move back. And I talked to Ry about it one day after they had talked together as a family, and he said, yeah, I think we are, because we're seeing things like license plates from Colorado, which in the 80s, early 90s, don't show up all that often in North Carolina. They had a friend from Colorado who called to talk to them that they hadn't talked to in years. They were seeing advertisements for things from Colorado, things like that. And while I don't discount that this was the way in which God was calling them, part of me wondered if they were seeing these things just because they were more mindful of them. They were more attentive to it because they were trying to discern whether they were being called to go back there or not. Let us also look for those hidden places where the reign of God shows up. Let us expect to find them. Those small moments where God's grace and mercy are made manifest. I'm sure that all of us, if we think about it, could name those moments that we have seen in our lives. What if we went out expecting to find them? And let us not also discount the idea that God's reign can also be made manifest, made real in us and through us. I saw a movie on Netflix a couple of weeks ago, The Old Guard. Now, it's not exactly a movie about the love of Jesus, and if you go to take a look at it, do not be surprised that your pastor likes action movies. But part of what it focused on was someone who had given up helping in the world because she thought that what she did didn't change anything. The world didn't become a better place. But someone had gone to the trouble to trace how this woman's acts to save this person had actually saved thousands. Because that life she saved meant this treatment for cancer was discovered. That life she saved meant that this person would go on to broker peace in between warring parties. We are all too often like that woman, discounting the value of what we do in God's name, unable to acknowledge the truth of how our little everyday acts that reflect the reign of heaven can indeed transform the world, at least for that one person we are interacting with right then. How those acts can leaven even this messy mound of flour that is the world, and in those acts that we do, those acts by which God enters into the world, we can change the very nature of this world. May we be inspired to live our lives transformed and shaped by our faith, even as COVID has done for us. May we have eyes to see the hidden places and the small glimpses of God's reign in the world around us, and to name those for ourselves and for others. May we be given the gift of knowing just a fraction of the ways in which our lives have provided life for others. May the reign of heaven come, and that right quick, for all of us. I invite you to stand and join me in the hymn of the day, God, when human bonds are broken.